Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so next Tuesday at about 2:50, we'll have another challenger. So Charles Brown, the original from 1960, moves on to next week, and we'll have another cover, and we'll give you, the audience, a chance to decide which is better, the original or the other cover that we have next week, and that'll be next week. I have a really strong memory of listening to this song on my transistor radio. I had this transistor radio when I was a kid walking around the mean streets of Metairie, and this was one of the songs that I remember. I remember Brenda Lee, Rock Around the Christmas Tree. I mean, I remember a lot of contemporary songs, but I remember, you know, this was just the greatest invention, this transistor radio. I mean, I had this little radio that was, I guess it was, you know, maybe it's an inch thick and maybe 3 or 4 inches in length. And I could walk around listening to music. And that was such an amazing thing. This was 1960. And think how easy it is for people to just get the music that they want anywhere. And of course, you know, back then, you know, we couldn't have a catalog of the music we liked. We were the victims of the radio station and the songs that they decided to play. And we were so happy when they played one of our favorite songs. There's a survey that to me is very disturbing. I don't know if you find this disturbing or not. But the survey shows that 46% of parents have prioritized gifts for their children for the holidays over gifts for them or their partner. Does that bother you? 46% have gone without gifts for their partner or their spouse in order to afford gifts for their kids. 46%. What about the rest of the parents? So it means that there are a hell of a lot of parents out there that would not sacrifice giving a gift to their partner or spouse or themselves to give a gift to their kid. 59% admitted that when it comes to shopping for presents, they overspend for their kids. I get that. I mean, we all try to do that. 71% of the parents said that, and this is something I can relate to, 71% of the parents say that they worry about their kids going back to school and hearing about some of the things that other kids got in school. I mean, got for Christmas when they come back to school. And I get that. I went to a private school, and we really didn't have the financial wherewithal for me to be going to a private school, but we did. I went to a private school from first grade to ninth grade. It was Sam Barth, and it was out in Metairie. And I went to school with kids that got cars for Christmas. I mean, I'd get a few things for Christmas. A watch would be a big deal for me. And look, I had a great life. Don't except for my OCD. I had a great life. I'm not complaining. But I went to school with kids that that showed up after Christmas, after the Christmas holidays. They had brand new cars. And I went to school with kids that their parents were rich. Some of their parents, a couple of the parents owned car dealerships, and they had brand new cars. And they always came back with raccoon eyes, you know, because they went skiing. There was no snowboarding back then, but they went skiing for the Christmas holidays and got a new car. So you could tell that they were wearing goggles because their faces were sunburned, except for where the goggles were on the eyes. And so, you know, I grew up with that. You know, and today it's like kids don't know how to deal with that. And parents want everything to be equal. And of course you want everything to be equal. Of course you want your kids to have everything. But life's not fair. It never was. It never will be. And so, you know, without anybody making a big deal about it, I just had to deal with the reality that some kids got more than me. And it was something that I didn't have a choice about. I just had to to deal with it. And today it's like, you know, parents freak out over this. Not all parents, but some do. And look, it's tough. I get it. You know, if some of your kids' friends have more, I get that. I get how that hurts you. But just let them know that you're doing the best you can and that they can have dreams and hopes that they can make come true. And if they work hard and if things work out for them, they'll have those things as well. A tragedy happened on this day. It was 40 years ago. 11 people, young people, were killed. 8 seriously injured. When concertgoers stampeded through the doors at the Riverfront Coliseum in Cincinnati, Ohio. The Who were in concert. And on this day in 1979, 11 young people died going to a concert. And if you think about it, it's maybe amazing that more bad things didn't happen when so many people got together. I mean, there was the concert at Altamont with the Rolling Stones, and there was a stabbing there. I mean, there were things that did happen. But this was really an unusual situation and really a tragic situation, and it really did rock the world of rock and the world of going to concerts. And I was on the air in 1979. I mean, I remember being on the air talking about this right after it happened. If you have kids that go to concerts today and you drop them off or they go on their own, what's the thing you worry most about? Because there are things that can happen in mass crowds. There are things that can happen at concerts. So what is it that you worry most about? And what is your greatest fear about going to concerts today? Is it the possibility of violence? The possibility of a crowd rush? Or the price of tickets? That is our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Poll question. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. But I want to talk about the experience of going to concerts. But, you know, as I think about violence at concerts, something really stands out in my mind. The mosh pit from the alternative grunge era. And many of you listening to the show were coming of age during the grunge era. I mean, somebody that was into Weezer and Soul Asylum and Nirvana and Soundgarden and Alice in Chains. Somebody who was coming of age, they're in their 40s now. And many of you are listening to talk radio. And we certainly include all of you, and I use bumper music from that era. I loved the grunge era. I thought it was cool. But the mosh pit has always fascinated me because here is this chaos that doesn't turn violent. And I have a theory about the mosh pit. I've shared it on the air before, but I'm going to share it with you again. And if you had experience in the mosh pit, I want you to tell me whether or not you think this is accurate. And we'll talk about this when we come back after the break. But there was something really special and significant about the mosh pit. There was really an interesting part of that young generation. 40 years ago today, 11 young people were killed. 8 were seriously injured when concert goers started to stampede through the doors at the Who concert at the Riverfront Coliseum. If your kids are going to concerts, what's the thing that you worry most about? And were you ever in the mosh pit? We'll talk about that when we come back. If you want to join us this afternoon, our number is 260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Were any of you at the Tulane Stadium ZZ Top concert? Seems like there were a few problems at that one, too. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, here's a song that was part of the grunge alternative era, Soul Asylum, Somebody to Shove. There was a lot of shoving that went on in mosh pits. We're talking about the 40th anniversary of 11 young people being killed and 8 seriously injured when concert goers started to stampede through the doors at the Who concert at the Riverfront Coliseum in Cincinnati. And there are dangers to getting together with concerts or whatever. And sometimes concerts don't turn out as calm and peaceful as you would like them to be. And this has gone on, you know, throughout history. In some ways, in the past, I don't think it's that way now, but there was a time when it was really getting bad. And I think it's gotten a lot better. But I'd like to know if you have kids, or when you did have kids going to concerts, what was the thing that you worried most about? I mean, to be honest with you, I would worry most about a gun. I'd be worried most about young people carrying guns and a dispute, an argument. Somebody feels the need to pull out the gun to kill somebody. But when I think about violence at concerts, when I think about the inherent dangers of going to a concert, I think about the alternative grunge era and the mosh pit. The mosh pit was this area on the ground floor. And, you know, people wanted general admission floor tickets to be part of the mosh pit. The mosh pit included slam dancing. Now, I know a lot of baby boomers don't understand this, and that's okay. You know, every generation has a right to define itself. But I thought there was something really interesting about this idea of slamming your body into another person. And I mean, hard too. I mean, there were injuries. In fact, I remember being at a Soul Asylum concert, and this girl went to safe, and nobody caught her. And she hit the floor, and her blood all over her head. Here's what I find interesting about the mosh pit from the grunge alternative era. Here was a generation that was making a statement about being anti-establishment. It was a generation that I think felt isolated because of the very beginning of people not talking to each other like they once did. You know, we're a very isolated society, and this has been going on for many, many, many years. But I think about the mosh pit as a moment when young people were in contact with each other, literally, physically in contact. But there was this unwritten rule. We're not going to get into a fight. It's not about fighting. And I thought the ability to slam dance, the ability to just, well, I didn't get it, but I tried to understand it. I thought the ability to just, you know, slam into somebody else at a concert as being fun, I thought about what that meant. And I think it really meant that a young generation, this was their way of really physical contact with other people their age in a very isolated society. And I thought it was just miraculous that the chaos didn't turn violent. Because I can tell you that, you know, think about a lot of concerts that baby boomers went to. Man, if somebody slightly bumps into you, somebody wants to start a fight. So I think there was something really special about the mosh pit. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870. And I'd love to talk to you if you actually were part of a mosh pit. And we'll talk to Ian Hoke, too, our studio producer, who is a millennial who I think participated in some mosh pits. Also, you know, one of the concerts that went really bad here in New Orleans was at Tulane Stadium, and it involves ZZ Top. And I'd love to talk to anybody who was there. Our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From Harahan, Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoop.
Hey, Greg.
Nice to talk to you. Yeah, I was at the concert at Tulane Stadium, and back then, I mean, you could like bring in your Ice Chef and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was a real festival. It wasn't just a con; that was a festival. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, you could bring your Ice Chef in, and I had a styrofoam Ice Chef out on the field, and that is so crazy out there. I had a guy stand up on my styrofoam Ice Chef.
How'd that go?
You know, so he could see. You know, and I don't know remember what happened, but I noticed they had a big fight break out and stuff, and they locked the gates. You couldn't even get out the stadium.
Yeah, I don't remember specifically what happened, but it was chaos, and the police were involved, it was a crazy time.
Yeah, they locked the gates. You couldn't get out the stadium.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, but I couldn't. believe this fool will try to stand on a styrofoam ice chest. You know?
Well, and you took offense with that?
Well, yeah, he crushed the ice chest.
Well, I'm sure he had styrofoam ice chest, and I'm sure he did. All right, Greg, I appreciate you sharing that story with us. Here's a text that said, this was going to mosh pits, I would bring steel-toe boots and a mouthpiece. Another text says, I fear that my kid will take drugs and actually better enjoy the concert. No, really? Seriously? You know, I would be concerned of, I would be concerned about a young person today, or anybody for that matter, getting drugs at a concert and it being something synthetic that is really bad for you. And because we do know a lot of people die doing drugs that are, you know, made on the street. I mean, this stuff's not made with FDA approval. From the CBD, Robbie, you're on WWL.
Hey, Stu.
Hey, Robbie.
I grew up in the 90s, going to high school. That was my high school age, going to concerts. And for me and my friends, doing the mosh pit and the slam dancing, it was a way to kind of get out that teen angst and aggression.
Yeah.
With an understanding that it was contained within that mosh pit. It was a way to just kind of cut loose and vent some frustrations, and then you left it all out there and you went home happy.
Well, it also occurred to me in watching the mosh pit phenomenon that that there was this understanding, and it was kind of this agreement that, you know, we can vent, because there was a lot of angst ridden grunge songs, and it was music that spoke to that generation that was very angst ridden, and the mosh pit seemed to be just a reflection of that. And I was so inspired by young people doing this and this understanding that, you know, we're going to do this. This is a way of making contact with each other, but we're not going to get into a fight.
Exactly.
Yep. All right, Robbie, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Here's a text that says, "New cars in the ninth grade." Yeah, these kids showed up with brand new cars in the ninth grade. One had a brand new Jag, another had a brand new Camaro, another had a brand new Mustang. Oh, yeah. Brand new cars in the ninth grade. Happened when I was in school. And you just, you know, you deal with the reality that everybody doesn't have the same things, and you just work as hard as you can to get what you want in life. DC, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. First-time caller, long-time listener. Love your show.
Thanks.
Love the randomness of the topic, especially today. But I agree with your theory. I think it's interesting that it's a way of, you know, having something tangible and real and in contact with other people that is even missing. It's really missing today. But I got to tell you, the mosh pit really kind of started like in the early 80s with like your hardcore punk bands like Dead Kennedys, Black Flag, and the term mosh pit, actually MOSH, is what I always understood was it's an acronym for move over skinhead, and it was a way of ejecting skinheads out of the front of the stage because they would usually were there to make trouble. And yeah, if you get injured in a mosh pit, you're not doing it right, you know.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I mean, it was a fascinating phenomenon.
It's kind of a tribal thing, too, if you think about it.
Yep. Yes, it is.
It's definitely a little ritual. And if you always notice, a mosh pit always goes counterclockwise. And in a way, it's
that's
kind of
right.
Like the generation of kids kind of turning back time, getting out that angst or aggression or the day, you know, whatever it might be.
And, D.C., while every young generation has a responsibility to rebel against the establishment, what I saw in the 90s with the grunge alternative movement was I saw the greatest rebellion against the establishment since the anti-establishment generation of the 60s and 70s. I mean, I saw a young generation that was just disgusted with their parents, disgusted with their parents' generation, with divorce, and with so many things that had happened. And I think there was a hopelessness that had set in, and they were rebelling against the establishment by liking music like Nirvana and Alice in Chains, music that they knew that their parents would hate. And our parents hated the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. I saw Nirvana live, and 1991 is considered the year that punk broke. So,
yep.
Just FYI.
Wow, that
thanks for doing a great show.
That's a memory. Hey, DC. Thank you for listening. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870 and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says that they will enjoy the music. Now I know I have become a parent. Here's a text that says mosh pit, nonviolent, special, LMAO, puff puff, scoot. Oh, puff puff pass? All right. Look, mosh pits. The activity was violent, but they didn't turn to violence. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, this is Green Day. Yeah, they were part of that grunge alternative era. I bet there was some slam dancing and mosh pit activity at a Green Day concert. Here's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll question. What is your greatest fear of going to concerts today? 67% say the price of the ticket. 33% say the possibility of violence. And nobody says the possibility of a crowd rush. If you're just tuning in, 40 years ago today, 11 people were killed, 8 seriously injured, when concert goers began to stampede the doors at the Who concert at the Riverfront Coliseum, just reminding us that sometimes there are dangers at concerts. I'll get back to your calls here in just a moment. Ian Hoke is our studio producer, and he's a millennial. And Ian, I'm assuming that you were part of mosh pits. And I was always in admiration of a young generation that saw this as a way of expressing themselves, expressing their angst, and it was a way of making contact with this great understanding that there wasn't going to be violence.
I think you nailed it. It's not it by all appearances. It certainly looks violent, and I think there's a strong argument to be made. It's people acting violent, but it's pretend violence. It's a way to get out there and act really aggressive and really tough and really strong and really macho and all those things that you would be expected to be in some social circles, but you don't actually have to do any of that. And like you pointed out, there's these sort of unwritten rules that you're not there to hurt anybody. And if you do, you will be escorted out with malice. And you pick people up when they fall down, and you try not to actually injure people, but you toe the line, right? So it's this release of this very aggressive testosterone-y energy, which is not to say that women aren't welcome, but it's all for show. It's just like playing flag football. You know, it's a release. Yeah. It's about as close as you can get to the real thing without actually having to be any good at it. And that's the other thing that was cool about it, is it was always really inclusive. You could be tall or short or skinny or fat or punk or a jock or gay or straight or black or white, and you could get in that mosh pit and nobody cared. You were just another person that they wanted to slam into.
Yeah, my girlfriend at the time would take my son to concerts, and she was okay with the mosh pit. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the mosh pit, but she would let him go in the mosh pit. So he loved going to concerts with her, and I know that he got involved in some of that. Here's a text that says, I was in the mosh pit 3 weeks ago at Five Finger Death Punch. It was awesome. And by the way, I'm 47 years old, and I got knocked down when we helped each other up.
Yeah.
Reminds me of a close family. Here's another text. This is interesting. Gino Vannelli, Municipal Auditorium, early 1970s, almost died due to being crushed. It was a stampede due to no assigned seats. I still remember that night. So, yeah, there's some inherent dangers at concerts. But I was always fascinated by the whole idea of the mosh pit.
Yeah. Wow. I wouldn't have expected Gino Vannelli to be a concert where people had to look out for the physical safety.
But yeah. I know people were kind of crazy about him.
Yeah.
You know, they might have rushed the stage to see him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
From Amit. Tony, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, I was there. I think it was 1976 at Tulane Stadium and at the ZZ Top concert.
Uh-huh.
It was something I'll never forget. I was up in the stands, and to see the people down on the field, you know, they were all probably smoking dope and whatnot. And like that guy said, you know, they had ice chests, and so they had these big gallon jugs of probably wine or whatever. And the cops went in down on the field and started, like, to either arrest or harass people or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Well, so the people started throwing jugs towards the cops, and the cops kind of got in a circle, and I saw them run after this one guy, knock him down with the billy clubs, and then one cop takes his leg, spreads it open, and hits him right between the legs.
Ouch.
And then I know these two girls we were with, after it kind of calmed down, they went to the bathroom, they came back, and they were white as a ghost, and like, what's up? And it's like, there's blood everywhere.
Wow.
And a lot of people got hurt. We saw a guy outside the stadium. I don't know if he lived or died, but he was in bad shape, just laying on the ground.
That was a really, that was a bad scene. And, you know, it may have started with somebody just, you know, doing something like smoking pot, which, you know, back then was a really big deal. Tony, I appreciate your call. And from the West Bank, Craig, you're on WWL. I've got time for a quick comment.
Yes, today is actually the 26th anniversary that Nirvana played in the Lakefront Arena.
Really?
And, yes.
Wow.
I was there. Mosh pit, it wasn't just running around and slamming. What we had going on there, we just, like, the entire stadium would just bounce up and down in unison.
Hmm.
And
it's that connection. It's that bonding with other people doing the same thing.
Oh, definitely. And later on, I read in a book, Kurt Cobain comment, that was one of his favorite things about playing live, is just watching the entire floor just up and down in unison. Yeah. And I was able to be a part of that.
Craig, I've got a text here from somebody who said, I'm 70 years old. What is a mosh pit? How would you describe a mosh pit to somebody?
It can be a lot of things. Like you said, it can be running around, just run around with reckless abandon. Yeah, you collide with people. It could be bouncing up and down. It could be getting passed. You get passed around. Basically, you get lifted up, and people would just throw you around. And
that was known as crowd surfing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then the security would catch you, and you just walk right back out into the crowd.
And then there was stage diving, where people would get up on the stage, and they would just dive down with the assumption that somebody would catch them, and usually somebody would catch them. There was a woman who at some point filed a lawsuit against some band. I forget the band. We talked about this not long ago. But there was some band that was performing in the mosh pit developed, and there were two New England Patriots that stage dived. And the woman got injured, so she sued the band for allowing that to happen.
I've taken a couple of shoes to my head with people crowd surfing. That happens.
But you don't get into a fight.
No, you don't get into a fight. It's just, it's kind of just part of it, you know?
Yeah. Craig, I appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting phenomenon. Here's a text that says... let's see. This text says, after that concert, most venues stopped having festival seating to avoid another incident. Yeah, there were some changes after the stampede that killed 11 people, injured 8 seriously at the Who concert in Cincinnati on this day in 1979. If you want to join us, 260-1870, text is 870-870. I'll try to get some calls before the end of the hour. I'll do a video on this on my Facebook page later. We can talk about the mosh pit. Happy birthday today to Ozzy Osbourne, 71 years old. Let me tell you something. If I live with Sharon, I'd be drinking and doing drugs too. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, so we've been talking about, and we really started because we were talking about violence at concerts, and this is the day 40 years ago that 11 people were killed and 8 injured seriously at a stampede of a crowd, young people, at the Who concert in Cincinnati. Here's a text that says, I remember people would fall into the mosh pit and everyone else would help pick them up. Yeah, I mean, that was the amazing thing about the mosh pit. And I just the whole idea of trusting others. It was really about a young generation expressing trust in each other. I trust that if I slam into you or if you slam into me, that we're not going to get into a fight. It's not going to be taken personally. If I get on the stage, I trust that you're going to catch me. And look, every once in a while, as I said, sometimes somebody would not get caught and they'd hit the ground. And the crowd surfing, where somebody would be lifted up into the crowd, and I would think that there would be a lot of, just the nature of crowd surfing, holding somebody up, you know, passing somebody hands to hands, all the hands. You know, I'm sure the Me Too movement wouldn't be too happy about that today. I remember a couple of years ago going to the Weezer concert at Champion Square, and I saw a couple of guys that were in their, like, upper 30s. And it was almost as if certain songs came on. It was almost as if they were like trying to start a slam dance. It's almost like they wanted to do it, but, you know, they kind of bumped up against each other a little bit. bringing back the memory of that, but they didn't actually do it. The Scoop Report is our daily Facebook video. It's on our Facebook page, WWL Radio. It's about the war on Christmas, which I think is a myth. I'll share it on the SOTA Facebook page a little bit later. Sports Talk with Bobby Christian coming up next. I'll go one-on-one with Coach Ed Orgeron in the LSU Hour at 5, and then in the Saints Hour at 7 o'clock, All-Pro defensive end Cam Jordan. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Todd Manessis, and our studio producer, Ian Hoke. Thank you for being part of this show every afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.